Tonight, I want us to look at the four major stages of our Christian journey. Focusing on teamwork makes your Christian journey work. One of the great lessons that we have learned as Christians is this. Individually, we are too often too weak to be able to stand. Collectively as the church, that's why God established the church as each part of the spiritual body, to where together we are able to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ the way that Christ expects us to. Again, Jesus died for the church. Now, remember this morning when I was talking about standing in the gap. Remember that as I used the analogy of the cross and how we're joined together. But when Christ went on to be with the Father at his right-hand side, the church now is to stand in that gap. It was the physical church of the New Testament age that was to fill in the gap representing Christ. It's the church, collective church body representing Jesus Christ. That's what it takes, us working together. One of us cannot do it. Two of us cannot do it. Where one or two are gathered, there is Christ in the middle. But folks, it is a grouping of the Christian spirits united together for Christ in ministry to the world on behalf of Christ, meaning we're standing in the gap now. And that's why I guess that we need to really pay attention, because if that gap, if we do not stand in it, how's the world ever going to hear? If we do not do what God has called us to do when he saved us through the acceptance of his Son, he called us to ministry. He called us to stand in the gap. But sadly, we're not wanting to stand in the gap. And I say we, I'm talking about the Christian faith of our day, or the Christian churches of our day. Too often we say, we don't know how, we don't know what you mean, we don't understand it. Well, that's why it's important. The individual Christian, in that personal prayer time with God, looking at the gifts and the talents that God has given you, then that individual Christian says, this is how I can serve in the church. And then each one will focus on the gift that God has given, and then all the multiplicity of gifts that God has given to the different personalities unite together, and we have a church body representing Christ. We cannot do it alone, folks. We cannot be the cross bearer that Christ wants us to be when we try to do it ourselves. Well, we get discouraged. We get so aggravated. I went over to try to help them. Try to help them I don't know how many times. I don't care whether I even help them or not. I mean, and that's our personalities, folks. That's who we are. That's how we feel. You help and you help and you help. And what do we see as individual Christians? People taking more advantage of help, and wanting more. We are to help to pull them up to where they then can become a part of the helping part of the church. But each individual must seek first their relationship where Christ wants them. And then, well, how do you know where that is? Look at your gifts. Look at the talent he's given us. See where the need is based on your gift or your talent. And then offer that gift. Teamwork makes your Christian journey work. Stage one, I want to make a difference. If we do not want to make a difference, if we have no desire to make a difference, we need to get back on our knees and we need to be crying out to God. Because, folks, there's a mess in this world. And either we're a part of the mess or we are a part of the cleanup crew. You and I can make a difference through Christ. But the differences that we seem to be seeing that are made today is not a difference glorifying Christ, but glorifying individuals or individual churches or denominations or any of this stuff. Folks, it has to focus back to Christ. I knew I would catch a few statements concerning my statement this morning about the church. There was never a point where Christ was going to establish a human hierarchy within the church. The Christian faith, the unity of the church body that Paul speaks of, that is not a hierarchy. The hierarchy for us is Christ. Christ the head of the church. Christ is the head. So each one of us, with our calling, then I am called to pastor. I am called to preach, teach. I am called by God to do these things. But again, it does not put the pastor any closer to Christ than any other Christian. We are to be about our Father's business according to how He has called us. Then together we will make that difference. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You and I, when we accept Christ, we understand that He is to be Lord of our life. Then our whole, from that point on, our whole existence as Christian is that battle inside of us to give more of who we are to Christ. He's given all of Himself to us. We got all of Jesus we're ever going to get, folks. He's given it all to us. But our problem is when He gives us the light, which He is the light of our salvation, meaning it is His light in us now. Let our light shine, meaning His light that is within us is to shine. It is to be the spotlight to the world. But that spotlight must be placed on Jesus. And once again, not on a denomination, not on anything down here within the world. It is placed on who Christ is. Do we not talk about the one day we're all going, when we leave this body, we're going to be present with Christ? We speak of that, then we should minister in that direction also, saying it's all about who Jesus is. Why is it so often that we will see it, and again, in my life or your life, so many times that we will, it seems like we come to our senses and say, you know, I need to pray about this. Well, when do we get to that point? Normally when we've attempted to do it on our own to this point and we've fallen and messed up so many times, we think, Lord, You called me. How come this isn't working? He did not call me to preach, nor you for whatever the ministry He's called you to do, for you or me to tell Him, okay, step back and watch me do it. You've told me to do this, so watch me. We are His service. We are teachers on His behalf, but we are to teach about Him, not about a program or anything else. Listen to these. A weak Christian's attitude says this: there's nothing I can do. I hear this. Well, you know, what can we do? There's nothing that I can do that's going to change what's going on within this world. Well, folks, if every Christian gets that attitude, we're going to remain in the hurt that we're in a hurt today for. Okay. A weak Christian's attitude was, there's nothing I can do. A strong Christian attitude says, there's something I can do. And most of the time we say, I know there's something that God wants me to do, but I have no idea what it is. Then the obedient Christian, here's where we want to get. The obedient Christian attitude goes like this. It goes from me or what I can do to we. You see, as long as we look at the big I, as long as we're focused on this is what I think ought to be done. There's the danger. The I needs not to think so much about what the I is going to do. We need to be focused more on what we can do as Christians united together to promote the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Colossians 1:8. This is Epaphras, who was a member of the church, and who Paul is speaking of. Epaphras, he has told us about the love for others. Now listen to this, that the Holy Spirit has given you. The Holy Spirit gives us love for others. You meet many people that it's obvious from the way they talk that the greatest love of their life is them. It's all about me, me, me. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift. Now, you talk about a gift from God, a gift to be able to love others. Tremendous gift. If you don't love the person that you're attempting to minister to or that God has called you to minister to, if you do not have love for that individual, and I'm talking about the love that goes far beyond who they are, goes far beyond all the evil that is within their life. It is a love that Christ will have just like he had for us, that he was ready and willing to die while we are in the same sinning state. Therefore, if we are the ones standing in the gap, if we are the ones now to represent Christ, then we must look across that land and understand that Christ died for me while I was yet a sinner. He gave his life. Therefore, think of this. If the person in front of you has never heard the gospel, didn't grow up in church like us, think of the children that are raised anti-Christian. Okay, Christ then gives us the strength, the ability, and he will work it to where that everyone will hear the message and everyone will have the opportunity to choose. But you and I have to be ready and willing to stand in the gap and have the love of Christ. It's very difficult to express love to people who are attempting to kill you. I don't ever remember in Vietnam or the Dominican Republic ever praying that God would bless the enemy. Now, I'm sure I mentioned several times, appreciate if he'd killed a heathen before they killed me. Think of that. You realize how difficult that is? We need to understand that love is not a natural trait. The scripture says, older women, teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Love, then, is a growing process. It is taught. It is something that, it's not easy. It's not easy for us to love each other, right? It is not, your husbands are not always lovable, right? There we go, yeah. All right, then we're not always that lovable. We are either. No, that's right. And our children. You know, we love our children, but boys, how many times have we thought about pulling every hair of their head out? You know, and if you live through this, I'll skin you alive, those type of things. But our love is still there, okay? Christ said he looked at us, the church era, the Christian walk of the day. He saw what we would become. So therefore, he sees you, he sees me as the end game. He knows what's going to happen with us later on. Therefore, he lifts us and pulls us out of that ditch of life that we keep falling into all the time because he knows that there is a special mission for each one of us. I do not know what that special mission is for my own life. I know of my calling, but I do not know at what point that it will be that you will hear the call to stand, and that Christ will say, I will strengthen you for you to stand and to make that last stand before you go to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. As Paul said, you know, after you've been stoned as many times as he had been stoned, you know, he's about ready at the end. Lord, you know, any time I'm ready here. But you and I still have that message to take and the message to live. So if we attempt to do it individually, why do we keep failing? Because alone, folks, we're going to mess up. Together, we can help through love calm each other down. And then as we settle down, then we go to the task that God has called for. Stage number two. I want to make a difference with Christians who want to make a difference. And that should be a focus for us. To make a difference with Christians who want to make a difference. Now, I will admit there are plenty of Christians, and we will see in heaven, but they have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, followed him in baptism, and completely walked away. I will under no circumstances ever say, well, they must not have been a Christian. Now, that's between them and the Lord. So what happens then to the ones who don't walk away? You see, every day of my life, I know I receive blessings. You and I have been blessed to be allowed to even call upon the name of the Lord. You and I have been given such a blessing of life itself. So therefore, the more and the closer we will walk in service to the Lord, you and I are receiving the blessings daily. Therefore, those Christians who are not walking with the Lord, what they're missing on is the blessings. No, they will not miss heaven, but they'll sure miss the blessings. And folks, to find peace walking on this earth in this body, to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, all the gold in the world is not worth it. I want to have the peace. I have the peace. Now that is when I say, well, when do you get back? Every day of my life. What do you mean, when do you get it back? I always laughed at folks who, sort of sarcastically though, I guess, who would say, well, I give to the Lord because I know I'm going to get something back. And I said, well, you're not going to get anything back if with a statement like that, because if I tell you, if I say, okay, I'm going to give this to the Lord, then if I give it to the Lord, isn't it his? Then why do I expect him to give me double back if it's his and I say I'm giving it to him? But that's what happens with our talent. When we will use the talent, whatever it might be, we stand strong in that talent, then the Lord will give us more. People say, I need more faith. And the Lord says, I'm not going to, if you won't use the faith I've given you, I'm not going to waste faith. Why am I going to give you more, Larry, if you're too honored to use what I've given you? So what we do is we focus on making that difference, but we make the difference with other Christians together, and that way we sort of level each other out. Now, Larry, you need to sort of back up and think that over. Some of you all tell me that about every week on some of the stuff. The law of Christian significance. Here it is. One is too small a number to achieve greatness for Christ, right? Yeah, but you would be surprised at how many Christians think that they, as an individual Christian, can receive the greatness for Christ individually. Why do I know that's impossible? Because the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Us united together, not an individual. We will make a significant difference in the talent that what God has given us to share with others, but it takes the whole body. We don't need to be limping around without a leg or a foot or even a little toe. Got it? Christians can always trace, now listen to this one. Christians can always trace their failures and successes to the relationships in their lives. Whether it be a Christian relationship with Christ or a relationship with other Christians, or in our relationships with others who are not Christians. Every time you mess up, if you were in college and you found out you hung with one group, which I probably, the one group is the same group anymore, and a lot of things that would take place after the freedom of leaving home and all of this, and you know, that's what we always pray about. Lord, please watch over them and don't let them act like I did when I did this. Lord, please protect them. So you and I, though, we see that now. And we expect our children to see that now. But when we were young, we did not see that. So what we do, we have that intercessory prayer time of, Lord, please watch over my son. Watch over the daughter, because they are going to do some dumb stuff out there, and I know it, because I'm their father or I'm their mother. Christian partnerships unify for strength. Now, this is the way it's supposed to be. It is where the body of Christ comes together all in one accord to do what? To present Christ. Not to see who's better, who's bigger, who preaches the loudest, who preaches the softest, or any of that. It is to come in one accord. You see, Jesus is that accord. And when we come together for the right purpose, then the ministry that is projected through our life that Christ will project is the right ministry for that area. Every church is different. Why? They're different because of different locations, because of the culture of that different location, of how people have grown up. We do, I don't care how many times they say you have to segregate this and segregate that. Listen, we do our own segregation. We hang out with the people that are closer to how we think and live, and we find peace. There is nothing wrong with that. Jesus's 12 disciples did it. God bless them. They hung out with each other, and that what was their one accord was Christ. He is the Savior. And yet, when it came to, let me ask you all something. Who was the first person to share the good news? The good news, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who was the first person to share the good news of Christ?
Mary.
It was Mary. It was a woman. A woman. A woman delivered the first. Yep. It was. Don't you remember? And then when Mary ran back, Peter said, "Woman, you out of your mind. What do you mean he's risen?" She. So it. I knew you women would love that, but that's the fact. Do you know that under Christ, Christ never let any woman ever be put down in front of him and in it? He was the great defender of the women. And not only that, Christ was born without a human man or around. God chose a special woman to deliver his child. Anyway, you all hear a bunch of that on that day. This thought I'd bring it to your attention. Exodus 17, 11 through 13. Joshua in the battle against the Amalekites. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. It turned out that whenever Moses raised his hands, Israel was winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek was winning. But Moses' hands got tired. So they got a stone, set it under him. He sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side. So his hands remained steady until the sun went down. Joshua defeated Amalek and his army in battle. That was unity. That was Moses, the great deliverer, right? He could not do it alone. Remember, Christ had to go to the cross alone. No one could go with him. He had to go alone. But along that journey, he showed us the need to have for us to help one another carry the cross that we have been given. Stage number three. I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference. You know what? For what reason would I focus so much on doing something if I don't believe in my heart it's going to make a difference in somebody's life? There's a lot of things done that just are useless. And I mean, there's a lot of things that are done that are useless. And I know what a lot of them are. All I have to go do is go to the souvenir shops and you buy a souvenir. That's useless. for activities. Oh, you know, I'm gonna focus on this. I'm focusing on this. Well, be careful, because that activity could be useless. Focus on wherever God has called you. Trouble again. I remember years ago when I was on staff at Franklin Crossroads as a young preacher. I remember one of the deacons coming to me and fussing at me because my teaching with the youth in those days, that I needed to understand that all the youth are not going to become preachers, and you don't need to be pushing on them that they have an obligation to do this or that. And I understood, that's the reason I know about youth ministry. Very difficult ministry. But folks, what's the purpose of living? What purpose do I have as a father, as a husband, as a pastor? What purpose is for me if I am not there to make a difference for Christ? And I must look at that. And to make a difference for Christ and with Christ means sometimes that your family is not going to be happy with you. Sometimes you have to take a stand that means you're not popular with anyone. And if you want to be popular, don't be a pastor. Don't focus on the Word of God, because Jesus says, what they've done to me, they will do to you. I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference. Matthew 15:14-16. You are the light of the world. Remember a while ago, it's the light of Christ in us. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and then praise your Father in heaven. The good deeds and praise our Father in heaven, not praise us. Do the ministry God's called you as an individual to do, so that the glory does go to God. Now, don't ever accept any of the glory on yourself. Very deadly move to make. Always push Christ first in all that we do. Listen to these. I thought you all would like this. Believe in others before they believe in you. Serve others before they serve you. Add value to others before they add value to you. When I was a prison chaplain, and to show respect to one of the hardest core criminals in the country in prison, I gave him the respect of being a human being. and my life was saved many times over from other inmates' protection. Why? Because you show, and here's the respect, not for who they are, not for the crime or anything else, but that they are a creation of God. And if God wants to do something with them, he will. I was stern, I was rough, I was tough, and they knew it. And yet, the respect was there because as long as they were respectful, they were treated with that respect. And that's what we should be about, is the light shining. And it's to help others. I've always thought that, you know, through all those years as prison chaplain, if after seeing the horrors of the families after murder children and the carnage that goes on in the criminal realm, that if some way one, two, or three of all of those thousands of inmates, that there had been one, two, or three that would accept Christ and their life changed through Christ, then somebody's daughter didn't get raped. Somebody's child didn't get killed. And that's what you would hold on to. Well, you mean one or two? It would be important to those parents and to the one or two, would it not? But you stand. We are not to keep score. We are to keep standing for Christ. Here's the last one, stage four. I want to make a difference at a time when it makes a difference. Folks, if there ever was a time for us, the church, to make a difference, it is now. We are watching a world crumble. The world crumbled. Not just the greatest nation, but the whole world is on fire. Wars are everywhere, and there will be more. Do we really believe the way we've acted in the past several years that we will not witness it on our own homeland again? The time is now for us to stand and to make a difference. Oh, you know, the beauty of that would be, Lord, reckon if I could witness to one those type of individuals that's out to destroy a nation that they accept Christ, would it change? There are people that will not change, folks. There is an ideology that is inbred, and well, Jesus showed us that from Judas Iscariot. Jesus knew, he said he was the devil from the beginning. He knew the devil was sitting at the table eating with him every time they ate. Whatever they did, he knew that. But he gave him the chance right up to the point. Therefore, you and I need to turn that over to the Lord. I have no idea what's going to happen, but it's already in the process, and we know that. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Remember, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. We are to prepare our whole lifetime for the point at when God says, now is the time. Be prepared.